Welcome back to the Aaron Keck Show. Aaron Keck here with you in the studio, as always, joined by Gene Boldick, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at everything that has people upset on social media this week, and we decide, is it a thing or is it not a thing? So, Mueller testimony exclusive on this one, I think, this week, because there's many different facets and layers to what went on week on Wednesday. So there is thingness and not a thingness.
It's kind of a seven-layer dip, isn't it?
Yes.
Without the flavor.
Well, with the flavor, but not in the places you expect. Like you expect with the seven-layer dip, it's a really unique seven-layer dip where you think that the flavor is going to come from like the salsa or something like that.
Yeah.
But randomly, the pinto beans.
It turns out it's the pinto beans.
Because I think the thingness of the Mueller report is not in, all the focus was on Mueller, because it's Mueller's testimony, and the cameras are on him, and the questions are nominally being directed towards him, even though they're all campaign speeches at this point.
Yeah.
But the focus is on Bob Mueller, but that's not where the thingness came from this week. I think the thingness came from other sources.
I agree with you. I think that folks who are criticizing his performance, that he seemed old. You know, he's getting old. He seemed not as sharp, you know, and all of this stuff. Well, okay, let's set that aside. I think that the substance of his testimony is that he sat there as promised as a warm body. It's the closest thing you're ever going to get to seeing Gary Cooper testifying. I never heard, yep, yes, true, generally true, not going to answer that, generally true.
That would have been Gregory Peck testifying.
That would have, well, it could have been. Yes, really. Atticus Finch takes the stand. So I thought that the one of the most remarkable things was that, especially in the Judiciary Committee, is that the Democrats obviously did their homework and coordinated their questioning.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, you would have, you know, a gaggle of politicians all asking the same question, making sure the camera was on when they asked it. And you really didn't see that. I thought that the chairs of both committees did very well in walking through the details. I think that they've gone to the Ocasio-Cortez school of what to do with 5 minutes of questioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was surprisingly effective, going through the details, getting this stuff on the record. But for me, the moment of the day was Representative Buck, I think from Michigan, a Republican,
mm-hmm.
asking Mueller, so would you indict the president? Could you indict the president on these facts after he's out of office? And Mueller, just consistent with all of his other answers, said yes.
Yeah.
And then he asked him again a different way. You mean you could, you know, indict him, you know, on these, you know, and he said, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, like, which part of YES did you not capture? I don't know if that was intended on his part, but that was, for me, the $64,000 question. Would you get Mueller to say, basically, do you anticipate that in 18 months the president's going to be indicted,
mm-hmm.
on these charges? That's pretty much what he's asking.
I think the not-a-thingness of Mueller's testimony was that he came to Capitol Hill and, like you said, did exactly what he said he was going to do the whole time. He was always a reluctant witness.
Right.
He always said, I don't want to say anything more than what's in the Mueller report. And I think that there were Democrats in Congress to an extent, but I think progressives and Democrats nationwide, more specifically, who in spite of that, I think were expecting him to come with more than that and were disappointed that he didn't. Like, I think, I don't know what people were expected, but I have this image in my head that everyone just kind of in the back of their minds held out the hope that Mueller would show up and say, now, I didn't put this in the report, but I've got video of Donald Trump personally murdering a key witness, and I'm going to play it for you now. Like, that was never going to happen.
There's a smoking gun involved. I don't want
to
give it away.
I just didn't put it in the report.
Let's go to the video.
But let's go to the videotape. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That was foolish and unrealistic, but there was news in what he said.
Mm-hmm.
There were things that he said that were surprising and have not really been obvious, even to people who, I won't name any names, me, who obsessively pay attention to this. So, for example, he confirmed quite clearly that the counterintelligence investigation by the FBI was handed off to them quite immediately and is still ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he vividly, actually, just explained that the Russians attacked the 2016 election. Donald Trump benefited from that. He invited it and welcomed it and sought to profit from it personally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are just facts on the record. These are all in the Mueller report. But, you know, he also said, you know, this is not an issue of history. This is going on right now while mm-hmm. we're sitting here. And, you know, the American government needs to take steps aggressively to block this from happening in next year's election.
And I think the two things out of that from Mueller's testimony, first of all, again, nothing so much to do with what Mueller said, but the reaction of Republicans in
right.
Congress, and again, conservatives and Republicans in general, not just people in Congress, but the rank and file, to what Mueller said. Because when the Mueller report first came out, when it was first released, you had the release of the report, and then you had, well, actually you had Barr's statement
right.
saying it's a
right.
total exoneration,
right.
Trump's tweet saying it's a total exoneration,
right.
lots and lots of Republicans and conservatives saying total exoneration,
and, him saying,
and praising
yeah,
Mueller
right.
for conducting this
yes.
full and comprehensive report.
Thank goodness
report.
He's cleared the president.
Right. None of that anymore, right?
Right.
Now,
better
what
not.
Now what you have is a general recognition, and this is true not only among Democrats and progressives, but also among Republicans and conservatives, that the Mueller report does not exonerate the president.
Right.
In fact, it implicates the president.
Right.
It implicates the president in activity, and we'll leave aside criminal activity, but activity that is definitely impeachable,
yes.
obstruction of justice.
Right.
Things
right.
like that,
right.
But obstruction of justice in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing that you can get up in front of the cameras and say, oh, this is an impeachable activity. It's long been recognized
right.
that it is. So the only thing that conservatives have left, the only thing that they can do to continue defending this president is to smear Bob Mueller.
Yeah, but that's not going to do anything. That's just not going to go anywhere. And I think that a great example of what you're talking
mm-hmm.
about is Devin Nunes,
mm-hmm.
who is the ranking member on the Intelligence Committee. And at the end of the session, he's got privilege, so he's got
right,
5 minutes
right.
that are his. What does he do with them?
Mm-hmm.
He yields his time.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? You yielded your time?
Yeah.
I think, could be wrong, I think
and
that,
let us for a second praise yeah. Devin Nunes for being the one to yield his time, because that's something we should see more of in American government today, I think.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but he yielded it to a Democrat. He had several members on his side who did not use all of their time mm-hmm. and yielded it back to the ranking member. And then when they came around for the last go around for him to have an opportunity for a last word, he said, I yield my time.
Yeah.
I think Devin Nunes is under an ethics investigation in the House. He could end up getting expelled from the House for his conduct in 2017. He could. I think that would be really interesting.
I am willing to dismiss all of the conspiracy shady theories about why Devin Nunes did what he did, and just say, you know what, bully for you, Devin Nunes.
Good for
not
you, Devin Nunes.
Time.
Just start taking
totally
your feet
okay
out of the
that.
Mud. Whatever
yeah.
puts you. Whatever has you step
yeah.
aside.
So there's that yeah. for one thing. Like, now there's a general recognition, I think, that the
right.
Mueller report implicates the president in impeachable activity.
Yes, and that's a big
now
problem
people have
for all
to,
these other Republicans
right.
who are running for office and really cannot stand next to their president and say he didn't do anything, you know, witch hunt, hoax,
yeah.
all that.
And
you
it's not even an electability thing, because Trump's base is all still with him. Like, we know what the
let's
Mueller
see.
Report is.
Let's see what his numbers are next week. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll
see what his numbers are
Fox.
Next week. I'm gonna predict that 538's got him at 42.7% right now, and that's the aggregate of all the polls. I'm going to predict that does not change.
That doesn't
very
not
much
a,
at all.
Not even a blip. Right?
Not even a blip. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's been 41, 42, 43 since
right.
like
it is very stable.
Yeah, it's the, very. The it's floor, the one. It's
the floor and the ceiling are so close.
Yeah.
For him, it's
I wouldn't say that he is a very stable genius, but I would say that he has a very stable approval rating. So that's thing number one for me, and thing number two for me is the fact that Mueller's testimony was very kind of low key, low energy,
right.
and that gets taken as a sign of weakness, not so much because of what he said, but because of the way he said it.
Yeah.
And I think that is telling, too, because we have, and I've said this before, and I'll say it 1,000 times, we have been treating politics and government and political discourse more and more like
show business
right. and specifically a reality show,
exactly
like a
right.
sporting event. It's
That's
all
right.
about winning and losing, and it's all
right.
about sensationalism
yep.
and the most extreme and loudest and
right.
craziest, most provocative out there personalities are the ones who get the spotlight. And this is a consequence of that. Now you've got a guy who's got a very comprehensive, well-investigated report,
yep.
but he is getting criticized not for the content of the report, but because he was boring when talking about
it. And in the same, 48-hour period,
mm-hmm.
you have the president in the Oval Office with a leader from Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're, I don't know if it's prime minister, president, whatever he is, saying basically that the people of Afghanistan are alive only because he has decided that this would be so. He said, you know, I could end this thing in Afghanistan in a minute,
mm-hmm.
But then I'd have to kill 10 million people to do it. And he says, and I just don't want to do that. And basically, and I mean, that is such an extreme threat of violence, unjustified, on the opposite end of the spectrum
mm-hmm.
that gets a lot of attention. I think it should. And when you have a president make a statement that brings together the Taliban and the Afghan government jointly saying, wow, that's over the top. He needs to apologize. I mean, holy mackerel, what a contrast. And he's made statements like that before.
He has. I will still say, in Trump's defense, still a step in the right direction from George W. Bush on that, who said kind of the same thing and then followed through on it and got us stuck in a 15-year conflict.
Oh, I don't remember him nuking. He's talking. He said he would end the thing in a matter of days, but the country would be gone.
Mm.
He's talking. He's making a nuclear threat.
People
is what he's doing.
People have been saying that for a long time.
No, but though. I mean, not from the Oval Office and out of the president's mouth. And he says to the Pakistani leader, well, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, because they have nukes, and so you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, that's quite a contrast between him and Mueller. You know, if he had been smart, and I think we've ruled that out by now, Trump would have conducted himself as a guy who was missing in action for the last couple of days, just have disappeared, not made statements, not tweeted. And then when he did come out and say something or release something, it would have been Mueller. Oh, is he still doing something? I've moved on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he should have done.
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
Penny Rich.
Ooh, nice.
Penny Rich talking about a fair amount, actually. We had an interesting conversation about the squad.
Okay.
And about, you know, Trump attacking women of color and you know, these things that we live with in our world today.
Weekend water cooler, Sundays at 1 p.m. and 8 p.m. right here on the Hill, 4 a.m. Saturday morning if you're up late or early, and get the full archive at weekendwatercooler.com. Gene Boldick, thank you so much.
Thank you.